This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at It's Will Time and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, the upcoming returns to WWE, John Cena, Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, and Seth Rollins. So Jake, something interesting last week coming out of a Vince McMahon conference call that happened, I think, today, now about a week ago. He said the following four wrestlers will be back within a month: John Cena, Seth Rollins, Bray Wyatt, and Randy Orton. Now, if I'm WWE's like creative team and everybody, I'm celebrating, but I wanted to ask you, how do you work those four guys back into stories in a compelling way?
It's interesting because I imagined in my head that Seth Rollins would come back and immediately challenge whoever the world champion was, but I'm not so convinced.
That's logical.
I'm not so convinced that that's going to be the case anymore. You know, I guess it really depends on his reception. I assume he's going to get the typical heroes return and get that kind of play on television. But I don't know how long he sticks that way. You know, just imagining Seth Rollins playing, you know, the babyface character on the microphone, I don't really know what that is yet in my head. I haven't really conceptualized it. So my guess is we see Cena come back and, you know, he'll get a big welcome, and he will possibly, you know, tease challenging Roman Reigns, but maybe get involved in the U.S. title picture. I have a feeling they're setting up Rusev for that purpose, and Rollins may, you know, stick around the world title picture right away, but I don't know if that's the case either. I mean, it's tough to integrate all those guys in a short period of time. I have to imagine at least one of them will find himself challenging Roman Reigns, but I haven't really figured out in my head where they're going for SummerSlam yet, whether it's going to be a Rollins and Reigns thing or whether it's going to be a Cena Reigns thing. I mean, I could see either of those guys in that position. So
yeah.
I'm not entirely convinced of one way or the other. I mean, if I was doing, you know, if I was booking the show, I'd probably have Rollins challenge him immediately upon his return and then find a more permanent role for him after that feud is over and then work towards Cena for SummerSlam, because I think that's a huge match.
I think Cena and Reigns at SummerSlam is almost too huge for SummerSlam. That's where I get worried about it. I look at Cena and Reigns and I go, yeah, but WrestleMania is coming. That's one that I kind of try and hold off for, and maybe I don't know what all you do with John Cena between now and the Rumble, but keep that title on Reigns forever. You know, keep the title on Reigns going into Mania. You've got John Cena hanging out there, and the only thing I think of that would be bigger is Cena and Undertaker, in which case you do.
Penciled in my head. So that's thought they'd go with him at SummerSlam.
And that would make sense. But you bring up, I think, Seth Rollins. Of these four names returning, Seth Rollins presents the most interesting possibilities, because he can come out as the uncrowned champion, as the guy who never lost the title and all of that. He could do that as a heel. He could do that as a babyface. Seth Rollins has the potential to do just about anything and be slotted anywhere. Looking at the current weaknesses of the roster, I would say they desperately need Seth Rollins as a top heel. But looking at what I think Seth Rollins is best suited to do and where I believe they were going with Seth Rollins just a couple months ago, or just a couple months before he was injured, they were definitely starting to put those babyface wrinkles into the Seth Rollins story. So I think Rollins, while the roster needs him to be a strong heel, I think I'm kind of just convinced that Seth Rollins needs to be a babyface.
Yeah, I could definitely see that being the default choice, because he's going to get the reaction anyway.
Yeah.
They don't really have the infrastructure from a character standpoint in place to have him come back and rejoin the authority and have J&J security there and all that other stuff. So it makes sense if he's going to stand on his own that he should do so as a babyface. I'm just not entirely certain who he feuds with right away. You know, with John Cena, I could see them having him feud with either Rusev or even, you know, AJ Styles would be an entertaining feud for him. But
that could be a fun SummerSlam program,
right? And in Rollins, I you know, that's why I thought, well, maybe he ends up in a feud with Reigns. I mean, or, you know, they maybe they have plans for either Dean Ambrose or Chris Jericho after they're done with their, you know, whatever that crazy asylum match is at Extreme Rules. You know,
the, all the weapons.
Like all the weapons and inside jokes hanging above the ring. You know, I'm not entirely certain, you know, where Rollins is. He's the wild card. I think Wyatt just kind of comes back and, you know, gets the family as back together as he can, you know, without Luke Harper being available, and kind of continues on his way. And Orton's another one where it's just like, where does he fit in all this? You know, it seems like they've been building stories since, you know, the WrestleMania around this new era idea. So maybe they have, you know, new era characters that they want these guys to feud with. I'm not entirely sure until I see it happen, because I, you know, it doesn't seem like they have, you know, these ready built feuds in place that are just kind of waiting for these guys.
Yeah, I don't see anything natural. And you mentioned an interesting thing, especially with Rollins being how tied to being as tied to the Authority as he was before he left. The Authority is sort of gone. I mean, Stephanie could still bring him back and protect him as part of this ongoing Stephanie and Shane thing, but it kind of seems like Rollins is going to have to go out there and stand on his own, which, again, I think would reflect more of the babyface side of things. Like the you said, storytelling infrastructure isn't there for Rollins to be the heel he was, and that's very true. You have John Cena feuding with Rusev. Really? Like, we have to go back to Cena and Rusev? Like, of all the interesting things John Cena can do, I have to watch him beat Rusev 1, 2, or 3 pay-per-views in a row again?
I don't think it'll be that long. I really don't. I mean, it seems like the former League of Nations guys are just kind of aimlessly wandering around out there. I mean, Sheamus, you know, SmackDown spoiler, Sheamus ends up, you know, getting pinned clean by Dolph Ziggler, and you have you know, Alberto Del Rio kind of directionless as a character. You know, he had a
mistakes were made.
Yeah, mistakes were made on that front, and you know, it just doesn't seem like they're committing to any of them, except, you know, Rusev seems to be getting rebuilt again as somewhat of a monster, but I don't know how long that lasts either. You know, it's one of those things where it's, you know, they do things temporarily just to put somebody in place to get crushed by John Cena. And I could see them wanting to get that U.S. championship back around his waist and do something entertaining with it for SummerSlam if they wanted to do that.
Yeah, I could see something very similar. I think Cena obviously brings a big boost to the show. Like, Cena returning is massive. I really hope it's good. Like, I hope that what he's involved in is as compelling and not super similar to the US Open challenges he was doing, because that was some prime John Cena right there, and I really had fun with it.
I don't know if I necessarily go back to the Open Challenge, but, you know, rather than having, you know, that weekly, you know, surprise factor in having those matches, I would like to see him, you know, have some long form feuds with meaningful opponents over that championship. Cause we really didn't get to see that last time around. And
that's true.
If they want to rebuild that championship or even the Intercontinental Championship, which it seems like they're trying to do right now as well, they're going to need to get people that are high profile having meaningful feuds that end up, you know, getting very personal over that championship and restore some prestige to them, because that's really the only way people begin to associate value with them again.
John Cena in that Intercontinental Championship picture would be awesome. Cena and Cesaro is always great. Cena and Owens is always great. Cena and Zayn would be great. And Cena and Miz, yeah, I don't mind it. I'd still be cool with it. Like, I would have fun with all of that.
Absolutely. And, you know, they can have, you know, other, I guess if you want to call them new era type talents involved in that too. I mean,
yeah,
there's there's the, you know, the AJ Styles of the world that could fit right into that. And even if you wanted to have a guy like Bray Wyatt or even Randy Orton fit in there, if he doesn't necessarily click with somebody in a main event scenario,
yeah,
he's very well suited to that picture as well. So I think they have a lot of options in regards to those mid-card titles. And there's enough guys on the roster that people think, man, there's just so much talent here and there's not enough places to put them. Well, those are places to put them.
Absolutely. ProWrestling.net members are listening to the supersized edition of ProWrestling.net Weekly featuring Jason Powell and myself running down K through Z on the WWE roster. It is a long show, it is a good show, and it's a really, really informative and a fun show, so I recommend you listen to it. They're also getting ad-free access to the site, member-exclusive audio updates, and so much more. If you want to become a ProWrestling.net member, head over to ProWrestling.net, click the membership link and find the sign up information right there for $7.50 a month if you just want to try it out for a month, or $5.50 a month if you take the annual option. It is a great thing. Also, don't miss the Extreme Rules pay-per-view coverage this coming Sunday. Jason Powell's going to have you covered, and Jason Powell and Jake Barnett are going to be breaking that down for members right after the show. There is just so much going on ProWrestling.net. We would really love for you to be a part of it all. Have a good one. So Randy Orton exists. He is going to come back. He's going to be a player of some sort because he's Randy Orton and he can't not be. But Jake, is Randy Orton a main eventer? I mean, could you see Orton versus Reigns main eventing anything but a house show? Like, could you see Orton and Reigns main eventing SummerSlam somehow?
You know, I'm not a huge fan of Randy Orton's ring style. I think I do enjoy Randy Orton as a character at times, and I do enjoy when he's in there with somebody who pushes the pace and sort of forces him to, you know, to have a more, you know, I guess a more animated match. But it seems like he's very content to have sort of very plodding matches that have like the last 30 seconds be very fast and frenetic, and that's all anybody remembers when it's over. But I don't really like watching 15-20 minute Randy Orton matches, so I hope they don't have him out there main eventing pay-per-views. I think he and Seth Rollins had great chemistry together, and so maybe, you know, they can go down that road at some point again, because I think they probably had some unresolved business in that regard. They didn't have, I mean, they had a good match, but I don't think they ever really had a fantastic match together. So that's an option. I think Orton is, you know, it really depends on where they cast him, because, you know, if he's not in the right mood from a character perspective, it makes his matches stand out even, you know, in a worse way than they normally do to me.
And casting him is a really interesting thing because, again, he's a legacy guy who, when his music hits, there's going to be a pop. People are going to get into it. What does Randy Orton do? Like, how do you establish who he is going forward? I think is really interesting because Orton can be a babyface that does the RKO and gets cheered, or Orton can be a dastardly heel who cheats and people hate. And right now I see the roster needing more heels, but I wonder if Orton is beyond the point where he could be a compelling, strong heel.
I don't know. I think it's been enough time away that they could really do whatever they want with him. You know, it seems like once you're gone for more than 6 or 8 months and you make a return, you pretty much have free reign to develop whatever kind of character you want. I think people are very forgiving once they, you know, get some distance from a character to have them come back and do something new. It doesn't necessarily have to be a baby face, you know, right away either. I mean, they can find a way to introduce him through vignettes again that get him back right where they want him to be as a heel. And I think that's where he's at his best. I mean, and the roster is a little bit short on strong heels at the moment as well. So it wouldn't be a bad place to reintroduce him. You know, I don't know, you know, because of how closely he was tied to that Authority feud, who they have him come back and feud with right away. But if they, you know, if they have one of the new talents, you know, maybe you have him go out there right away with somebody like Baron Corbin, or you know, anybody who you know, you want to cast as a big deal right away could sort of take a shot at Orton. So it's one of those things where I'm, you know, he's such a wild card, and where they're sort of formulating this card going forward is such a mystery to me that I really don't know where he's going to end up.
And the last guy to talk about is Bray Wyatt, and he's a wild card too, although we at least saw Bray in this era, like in the new era, whatever storyline they're doing. We saw Bray Wyatt do his things in this new talent directive, and do you just put them back on the same course? Wyatt's going to be the mysterious helper of Roman Reigns sometimes, and things are going to be slightly uncomfortable but really fun between Reigns and Wyatt for a little?
I hope so. You know, I think Bray Wyatt deserves a shot as a babyface. And I know, you know, guys like Jim Ross have talked about this, and I know a lot of other you know, wrestling commenters have sort of brought that up as well. But he definitely comes across as more of a babyface in his interactions with the crowd. You know, his physicality is something that people enjoy when he's out in the ring. I think if they give him a purpose, you know, as more of a charismatic cult leader that is actually trying to attract the crowd instead of sort of, you know, herald their apocalypse, I think people would dig that. And then it's kind of a something that he would embrace, because it sounds like he is very into the psychological aspect of his promos when you hear him talk in interviews and things. So I think that's a character that people would dig. You know, it's sort of you know, interesting, you know, once you establish it, that you can sort of start the process of recycling him back as a heel, because you can start to show the dark side to being a cult leader again and that kind of thing. So I think that would be an interesting arc for him to take on, and something that they hopefully, you know, now that he's missed some TV time and they can represent him, you know, he'll get a chance to take on.
Yeah, as we talk about this, it's like, well, the roster needs more. You know, we're saying the roster needs more heels. That's a place where Orton can slot in and Rollins can slot in. I don't need to see Wyatt slotted in there. I don't think the shortage of heels right now is a reason to put Wyatt in that heel picture. I think it's almost a reason, hey, let Wyatt be that unique babyface, kind of an outsider, because there are enough other babyfaces. You're not using Wyatt as your number two guy or anything like that, like they were on the heel side for so long.
And he's in a position where I think he has, you know, some interesting chemistry with Roman Reigns, whereas other characters just don't seem to click with him. And so it's something that they could play on, you know, down the road. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, like a SummerSlam level feud for Roman Reigns, but definitely, you know, in those months where they're desperately trying to find something interesting to do for a main event feud, he could definitely fill that role.
Yeah, he could do a lot. All of these guys, I feel like one of the fun things that has to be happening in WWE right now is sitting around the table playing with cards 3, 4, 5 months from now, featuring these wrestlers, because you've got new talent on the roster these guys haven't interacted with. You've got four talented guys who can be pay-per-view main eventers. Like, all of these guys are, you know, in that main event mix. You've got a lot of fun things happening because of that, and I think WWE TV, which has been fresher and a lot more fun recently, WWE TV has a chance to really, really be fun with these guys coming back.
Certainly, yeah, it's an exciting time. I mean, we had to deal with, you know, 6 months heading into WrestleMania of just watching guy after guy after guy get hurt, and guys who were important to the planned WrestleMania card. And so watching, you know, all of these guys start to come back now, it's like you get the refresher course on, hey, there's actually a glut of very talented people in WWE when they're healthy, and they have an incredibly crazy talented roster to deal with, and there's even more people, yeah, you know, that are in NXT and Brock Lesnar, you know, coming back likely for SummerSlam, and you know, where do you fit Shinsuke Nakamura into SummerSlam if he'll make an appearance there? And it's like, man,
two nights earlier.
Yeah, exactly. I just don't know when all these things are going to click into place. But, you know, by the time WrestleMania rolls around next year, it could be an incredibly stacked card.
And a correction to myself, that's one night earlier, actually, that I would fit Shinsuke in, because that's when the NXT TakeOver show is. But Jake, I think that's going to wrap it up for this show, and we'll be back tomorrow. Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!